Well, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for more of you and less of us. Thank you for the grace that's called life. And thank you, Lord, I believe you spoke through one voice this morning, and we need not fear anything, but we take heed and we follow behind you. Lord, I pray that our faith will not be based on man's words this morning, but your Holy Spirit and power. I pray, Lord, and I thank you for your words. Thank you for your Bible, for your word, and that you will speak into hearts. Different keys for different hearts. And we thank you especially for our young ones, the children, that they will be fed and be filled to the brim, and that they will get to know God more than anything this morning as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, it was so cool. This is just a nice way. I'm not saying it's a perfect way, but I never had that in my life. I grew up quite traditionally, as is the case probably for most of you. But what I do with Ed, with Frida and Sophia, Frida can pick a religious spirit from a mile away. If I pull a religious, almost bit psalm type of thing, and it's maybe not now God's timing, she struggles with that. But now I'm just trusting God to speak to her, that she connects with him. That the God that Frida serves one day is not the one through her father, not through the pastor, but one that she knows personally. And so I'm just really trusting the Lord the whole time. And so now I ask her, het jy 'n prentjie gesien? In other words, did you see a vision? And sometimes it's just kid stuff that comes up, but sometimes it just rocks the boat. She just really comes in, and God just shows her something that seems very simple, but I know, wow, that's of the Spirit. And so it blesses her. The other morning we were driving to school, and I said, obviously it was cloudy morning, and we were praying for the rain. And I said, het jy 'n prentjie in jou hart? And immediately she's like, ek sien reën. Ek het reën gesien. And it didn't start raining by then, and it was literally a kilometer further when we pulled into the school, it started to rain. Now, you can think, oh, well, that's just, it could have just been chance, etc. But with childlike faith, there was such a moment in the car where I said, praise God, the Lord showed you that, and now it rained, and all glory to God, and we had an awesome moment. This morning, I asked both of them. Sophia was like, mm-mm. And Frida, I asked her, what are you seeing? She says, an angel. I says, well, what's the name of the angel? I don't even know if she knows that there's angels with names. So she says, Gabriel. I'm like, how big is it? And she explains it. And just in the spirit, what's happening here, I can very certainly, surely say that God is probably showing her things in the spirit. Now, he will lead them, he will disciple them, but let's have this moment with our children. Let's not put any weightiness on them to perform or to do anything religiously, but let's walk the walk with them to enjoy the gifts of the Spirit. I've no idea where that came from, but I'm quite excited, and I'm glad that God is doing it with me at the ripe old age of 34. So I'm glad I can share it with my kids as well, and I hope you will with your kids as well. We've been chatting about being anchored. Petri shared an awesome message last week, and it was such a revelation again that God wants to connect with you. He wants to love you. He is the one that eagerly desires after your heart, Philip. Not once off until you're saved, and they're like, okay, cool, sit on your rack, let's move on. No, he constantly moves in to connect with our hearts, like we want to connect with our children. So we had that message last week, and this week the sermon title is Inside Out. And you'll see just now why. It's part three of what I believe prophetically is the word for us in this season for our congregation. Next week, we're going to talk about just Shofar globally. Next week or the week thereafter, the theme being one. We'll chat about that. But now we're just quickly standing still. As I said, last year, we got together, a couple of us, and prayed and said, Lord, what are you saying to us about this year? Last year, we had this thing, hashtag seek first. So in all we do, we needed to seek God first. And this year, or especially the beginning of this year, I believe God is saying to us, be anchored, guys. Be anchored. And you'll be glad to hear it's not a join the church, sign a membership form type of sermon. That's not the heart. I believe it's a prophetic picture to us as a people. Yes, it'd be great if you're anchored here, obviously. But that's not the heart of it, so please don't switch off. That's not what the sermon is about. But it's to be anchored in Christ. That whenever everything or anything in your life gets shaken so badly, that you are still anchored. And today we're just going to roll out, we're just going to open up, I believe, another section, another part of what this means and how it is applicable for us prophetically. Now, for those for who this might be weird, you can go to the next slide. Thanks, Dominique. A picture or a vision is one of the ways in which God just speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. And luckily, we can always go back to the Word of God, go back to the ministry of Jesus and see what happened there. He constantly used pictures, word pictures, to tell stories, to bring truth forth. And so we see this happening in the Bible, so it's nothing weird in 2017 when God comes and He speaks to you and He gives you a picture to tell you a truth to which you can abide of, to which you can live. Now, Jesus used pictures, as I said, and God gives us these pictures. At this stage, for us, it's just an anchor. And it might not be 100% the same that God's going to flesh this out for me as it is for Bianca this year. But that's how awesome He is, because she's on a different road. But He will flesh it out for us if we seek Him. What is the prophecy? Who's had a prophecy here before? A couple of you? I don't want to say who. If there's anybody that has not ever received the prophecy, please come and chat to me afterwards. That will be atrocious. We just need to work on that as the Lord leads, obviously. A prophecy is merely this. It's something pro or before, said before, or made clear before. Make clear, assert as a priority. It's clarified beforehand. In other words, Wednesday is still to come, but today, pro, beforehand, something that's going to happen on Wednesday gets clarified. And it is done by whom? Who tells you this? God, through His Spirit. Can there be prophecies or foretellings by demonic spirits? Can they do that? Yes, they can. That's why we do what? We discern. We get to know the Word of God, the character of God. And we get to know the Holy Spirit of the Lord. In spirit and truth. And so we test all words. And we test the spirit from which it comes before we take it and eat it and make it our own. So it's a clarification, divinely empowered forthtelling, a clarification of something to happen beforehand. Now we said figuratively, an anchor is a person or a thing which provides stability or confidence in an otherwise uncertain situation. So if God shows us as a church an anchor, He just says, hey man, firstly, to what are you guys anchored to? What is keeping up your stability in your life? And then secondly, for everybody in life, you know, it's sometimes, if not most of the times, rocky waters. Life is not plain sailing. Life is definitely not plain sailing, but we've got a trust, we've got a hope. And we said to each other 2 weeks ago that Jesus Christ is that anchor. That's where we start. Yes, we can roll it out, and there can be secondary things that He works through the biblical truths with us in this season. But firstly and foremostly, as Christians, we start off with Jesus Christ being that anchor of our hope. Can I get an amen on that? I know it might sound so menial, or we've heard it so many times, or yes, that's quite obvious. But to make that part and partial, part of everything in your life, is another thing. And God is busy, I believe, doing that to make sure that we are truly anchored to Jesus. He is the one that keeps us stable. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for our lives, safe and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. That's reference to the Old Testament and of the tabernacle, where God's presence was just being carried along with them, and where the priests and most, well, the Levites were working around God's tabernacle, and where once a year the high priest could enter that most holy place, being where God's presence is. Today we obviously know it is for all who believe in Christ and are cleansed by the blood of Christ. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Jesus has entered there on our behalf as a forerunner. He went there as a forerunner for us. Because He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. We're not going to go into the detail of that, but you can go and research it, as I said. Now, the anchor is Christ. In other words, what is important is the presence of God. Moments like this morning, but not only this morning, not only at church, but daily. Relationship. Relationship with God is the anchor of our lives through Christ Jesus. To be blameless and righteous in His sight. In other words, to be forgiven of our sins. For our for your conscience to be cleaned and to stand with clean hands before the Lord by the blood of Christ. And we said to each other, those are important things. Why did we again say, why do we need anchors? Why do we need anchors? Yes. That revelation keeps hanging around there. Sue said it the previous time. It's for us not to drift aimlessly around in life. Who's ever gone through a season where you drift aimlessly? You're not chewing, near the heck am I going? Am I going anywhere? So firstly, it's not to drift aimlessly around. Secondly, it's also not to be run or to run ashore, to crash and burn, to be destroyed. Not to be tossed around by winds of doctrine. Ephesians 4:14, it's not on there, this lesson here. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in techniques of deceit. It's kind of hardcore. But unfortunately, if you look at Facebook and if you Google stuff and you read around even doctrines these days and what people are busy with, it's either all the way there with grace or all the way there with the law, and you kind of just so easily lose the plot. So he says, don't be like little children. Don't be tossed to and fro by the winds and waves of doctrines. Come back to the basics. Be anchored. By the way, the anchor is Jesus. What is this book also called? It is the Word, the Logos, the Word Himself, Jesus incarnate. Come back to the anchor, guys. Don't be tossed through and throw. If a thief says anything, go back to the anchor. Trust the Spirit. Not be thrown. Oh, is it var? Is it nivari? Is that of God? Is it not of God? Go back. Don't trust me. Trust your anchor. Please don't trust me firstly. Trust your anchor firstly. Secondly, why do we get an anchor? We grow maturity and stand firm. We grow maturity and stand firm. Not to drift aimlessly or be shaken. And then not to run ashore. We build our house upon a solid foundation. Gordon B. Hickley said the following. People are looking for stability in a shaky world. They want something they can get hold of that is firm and sure and an anchor in the midst of all this instability in which they are living. Who of us do not experience this instability? In other words, all of us. In other words, this is applicable to all of us looking for an anchor daily. Today, we're just going to share inside out a very simple truth. But before we do that, let's just quickly look at this hope that we refer to in Hebrews 6. We know that it is Jesus, but let's just look at it. We have this hope as an anchor for our lives, safe and secure. Say, safe and secure. Let's remember those words. We're going to get back to them. Safe and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. What is it? What entered the inner sanctuary? The hope, yes. That's weird. So firstly, it refers to this hope. Then it anchors. The hope enters the inner sanctuary. How can the hope enter this inner sanctuary unless we know what the hope is? And then he gives us the answer. Jesus has entered there on our behalf as a forerunner. So it's very plain there to see. Does the lawyer agree? Plan to see. Amen. Thank you, Rolf. Sig van verlichting hier van my kant af. So we see that firstly the writer refers to this hope, then he says that it, and then he makes it all clear as daylight to us, it's Jesus has entered there on our behalf. So Jesus is our hope in this world as an anchor. To do what? To have what? To be safe and secure. Who feels safe and secure at the moment? Got a bit of a problem. Who was here during worship? Okay, we've got four people safe and secure. Any other takers? Who feels unsafe and insecure at the moment? Please not referring to my sermon or my abilities or inabilities to give the message. But who feels insecure at the moment of where they're at in life? There's a couple. Amen. That's a good thing. Who in life, what humans in life, even animals, but let's just stick to humans today. That's what we are, I believe, all of us. Which humans does not look for safety and security in life? One of the primary focuses, I believe, in life is to look for. Where's my wife praying and interceding? Will somebody just pray and intercede for my English, please? Edna usually does that, praying in tongues. Please pray for my English. Thank you. Who in life does not primarily look for safety and security? It's just something we all do. And you look for it in different places, various places. So Jesus is our hope. We've made that clear. He is that anchor to be what? Safe and secure. I wrote some of these things down, so just quickly listen. We have faith in Christ. He is our hope and anchor. So we have a hope of and the reality of a right standing with God. Great, we've said that. We've got a hope of and being forgiven all my sins. Yes, great. My conscience feels better. Hallelujah. I've got a hope of and then a relationship with God through Christ Jesus, my anchor. That's a good one. I've got a hope to and then to be connected and to belong. Who wants to be connected and who wants to belong? We also desperately want to belong. You might say, well, Nick, but you're actually just lying. We all want to belong. That would have been, if this was a churchy sermon, that would have been an ideal moment to say, you need to belong here, but that's also a lie. We need to firstly belong to Jesus. I'll be a liar if I say that. Because He's that anchor, firstly. And then the anchor will tell you. Those are the subsequent secondary anchors to which you should belong. But that is up to the main anchor. It's up to the head of the church to speak to our heart. So we've got a hope of and then a relationship with God. Hope to and to be connected and to belong. A hope as a child to be safe and secure. How awesome was it that moment when Sophia just got onto my lap and just sat there. Nothing said, but so many things said between our hearts. You might be hardcore, you might have a tough past, and I'm probably speaking to the wrong crowd, but there's a lot of people out there who say, well, I don't need a father. I don't need that safety and security, but it is facades, it's lies, it's dis droogbeelde, gesigte wat ons opsit, van seer en verwerping. But we all just want to be that child that is safe and secure. Not alone. Not fight for yourself. Someone looking out for you. Somebody saying, hey, Yuan, I have your back. I had a moment with God once where He says, well, you've got my back. I've got your back. It was a very simple thing, but it brought such a change in my heart, such a confidence. Such an anchor of being safe and secure. We have this hope as an anchor. We have this hope. In other words, we have Jesus as an anchor for our lives, safe and secure. Let's move on to safe and secure. Everybody, we said, wants to be safe and secure. You don't put that on Facebook. Hey guys, I so desperately want to be safe and secure. Please like my message. No, you don't. No shares. I don't feel safe and secure. No, you don't do that. But here we're a loving community saying, hey, we've all have our struggles. We actually just want a dad. We just want somebody to look out for us and have our backs. We just want that assurance in our innermost being saying, het gaan okay wees. I'm safe and secure. And so that battle, we're looking at that battle in life. That we all face. And it's like, Lord, how does this work? Let's look at a worldly definition of what safe and secure is. You can go back to the previous one. No, back. Thank you. Let's look at the definition. The primary definition of safety is the condition of being free from harm or risk, which is essentially the same as the primary definition of security, which is the quality or state of being free from danger. So it is free from danger and being free from harm and risk. And we say, this is what we so all desire. Now, let's just be a less spiritual for a moment. Can we do that? You holy saints, can we do that? Be a bit less spiritual? What gives safety and security in this life? Especially in South Africa. Money. Yes, money. Boundaries. We're speaking not spiritual, physically. Vibekriet. Boundaries. Yes. Electrical fences. Yes. Natasha klink vir my veilig. Go on. Anybody? Family. Yes. What else gives safety and security in this life? Policies. Yes. Not church policies like Santam and Sanlam. Yes. Police. We're not going to joke today. We're going to honor the authorities. Lord bless our police service. Amen. Let's joke about something else. Anything else? Alarm systems. Friends. Yes. Government. Yes. You're testing me here. Hey. Job security. Yes, definitely. I know there was a stage where I was living as working as a lawyer, but I didn't make much of an income. But I had, every day I wore my suit and a tie and everything, and I looked the part. And people were like, wow, wow, wow. And I was thinking, well, you have no idea where I'm actually at, but it looks the part. It looks safe and secure. You go to the office and you have your suit on and you've got a nice bag. You look busy. You must be safe and secure, whereas I was just getting killed very slowly. Anyway, what else gives us safety and security in this life? Airbags. Who's got a safe car? A lot of airbags. NCAP 5-star ratings. Anyway, that's where they test how safe a car is. Anything else that... pension. Is a pension something that gives safety and security? Yes. Yes. Ourselves. And not saying that all of this is entirely wrong. We're just saying, Lord, we just want the right priorities. Otherwise, when something gets shaken that you did not expect to get shaken, you get thrown. And that's what we don't want. That's why God says, hey, get behind me. Walk behind me. I've got your back. Stay behind mine. I'm going to take you to a place of safety and security. True safety and security. What else? Anything else that comes to mind? Pension funds, weapons. Yes, a 9mm, a good old 9mm. Yes. Who's ever had a gun and not feel safe? Who's ever lived in a home with burglar bars and beams and an alarm system, by the way, of which we also have a couple. We did it prayerfully. Who's had a dog, darn vicious dog, yet not feel that safe? Anybody? Who's had enough money for a month or a year, or some of us maybe 10 or 20 years, and not feel safe? Anybody? Who's had a pension and not feel safe? Who's had good friends and not feel secure? Who's lived in an estate and have went to bed scared? Who's drank all their vitamins and went for their regular checkups yearly but still feared sickness? You're seeing where we're getting. Who's had all the people in the world around them yet felt so alone? Christ is saying, come to me. Let me teach you about the true anchor. Let me teach you about true safety and security. Not forsaking everything. Not going to live in the bush. But saying, hey man, let's get our priorities straight. Because otherwise we're going to get hurt. We're just so going to get hurt. It's called expectation management. I don't know what the good spiritual word for that is, but it is expectation management for Christians 101. What do you truly expect of God? Yeah, but God, I want a bigger wall. Wall. Thank you for the words that are praying. I want more barbed wire. Lord, I want a bigger pension and just another policy. And he says, no, 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 we're doing some expectation management. Come to the true anchor. And again, I just put the disclaimer there. I'm not speaking against any of those things. But primarily, be careful if you put your hope in them. Because Christ says in Hebrews, God says in Hebrews through his word, that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And sometimes he comes and he shakes your world. And all that can be left standing is the true and only anchor, nothing else. Safety and security. When am I safe? When do I feel safe? Truly, when my anchor is near. We've been through moments and seasons in our lives where at first I would have been scared of an empty bank account, where now, by God's grace, I spoke to Kristen this week, I'm in a place where I say, Lord, by your grace, I don't get scared of that. Because I've seen you work. I've seen where the true riches come from. I can see where the true safety and security comes from. When we moved in here in Sunningdale, we were actually living, we were one of the only houses there as they just build them on and on. People told me about how hectic this is going to be. The first two nights I had a horrid time sleeping. The third night, by God's grace, and I say this humbly, I got up. I went to our, what's a spare kamer? Yes, a spare bedroom. Thank you, God, for a spare bedroom. I went in there and I started to worship God, but I danced before the Lord. A worship that I've not sensed before. And poof, that stuff left. Ever since, by God's grace, peace. God gave us a promise. And so whatever you're facing, that might be financially, it might be the safety of your family, it might be whatever it might be, go to him. Ask him what is the truth. Ask the anchor, what are you saying about this scenario? It's like, no, 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 you're getting it all wrong, Ritif. Just worship me. Did he just quickly speak to you in the spirit? This is the truth about you and your home. Oh, yes. Thank you, God. Settled. Settled in the spirit. Gedoen. And that is my heart for us as well. I'm safe and secure when my anchor is near. Sorry, that rhymes. It wasn't supposed to, but it did. Inside out. We've spoken about a lot of things that keeps us safe and what we think keeps us safe and what people rely on in this world. Yet we're in this constant battle between what is true safety and security. What is the true hope? This one, Jesus, that we've not seen with our physical eyes, yet he is the one that you trust in a world that people only see and trust. So we find ourselves in this paradoxical world state that we need to work through these things. And I want us to stop and do that in this season. Our sense of security and anchors lies where? It is determined from where? Outside or inside? Very simple question. From the inside. Your safety and security in this world, as a Christian, is supposed to be determined spiritually, not naturally. From the spirit and not the flesh. I call it the inside, but you know it refers to the spirit, the spiritual. From the inside and not of the outside. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. Hope, faith, security, and stability is firstly and foremostly forthcoming from the inside of our innermost being, out of the place of our hearts, our spirit. Our spirit, man, and not from the outside, from the flesh. This is just a very simple picture. You all know we are triune beings. In other words, Ralf is, except amazing Bianca. He is spirit, soul, body. You haven't said amen. Spirit, soul, and body. We all are spirit, soul, and body. Everybody knows that? Spirit, soul, and body. Now, body or flesh, you know that your spirit, unless you are born again, unless you are born of the Spirit, unless you believe in Christ and God comes and he gives you the second birth, your spirit is dormant, not doing anything. Until that moment, let's look at Scripture. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We have spoken about this a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to go into all of the details again. But you need to be born again for your spirit to come alive. Born of water, born naturally, and then your spirit to be born when you become born again. And then God starts feeding your spirit. Your spirit man is almost like a baby and then becomes stronger and stronger as you feed on the Word, feed in the presence of God, feed in worship, feed on just the revelations of who the Lord is and who Christ is. Your spirit man gets stronger. Now, I was lost and backslidden for up until, I believe, 21 or 22 years. In other words, constantly making all of my decisions, getting my safety and security from which place? From observing things in the flesh, not the things of the spirit. Everybody with me? I'm just putting this in a nutshell, but I think it's maybe important for one of us, one or two of us, just to be reminded of this. So in other words, for 22 years, that spirit was just lying there dormant, and then got born again. Praise God, I got to know Christ as the real anchor of my life. And now all of these things started to make sense, slowly but surely. Sanctification started to happen in my life. And now I started to eat on this, the bread of life, the living waters, the water of the Spirit. And so my spirit man grows and grows. But the problem is, for 22 years, any form of safety and security in my life was determined upon which of the two? Spirit or flesh? Flesh, obviously. So whatever I perceived as danger, whatever I perceived as risk, or through my senses, my flesh, my body, determined what happened in my emotions and in my mind. So I was constantly scared, and I had to fight this battle on my own. But God came through and He says, no, here's my spirit, here's my truth. Here's another world for you, here's another kingdom to which you now adhere. So in other words, all of us sitting here, if you are born again, and looking at the things, and looking at the way we worship, I believe all of us are, there's this battle between which one are you going to listen to? Are you going to feed your spirit, become strong in the Word, become strong in who Christ is, have a full picture of who this anchor is and what this anchor says through the Logos Word? Or are you going to keep on the way of listening to your flesh? And I'm not standing on a high heel saying, oh, the world this and the world that, but bottom line is the world operates predominantly in the flesh. So please, if I say this, understand my heart. But or you're going to stay in that place like I was for 22 years, listening to what my flesh likes or my flesh dislikes, and accordingly, it steers my will, emotions, my heart. So now this tug of war is going on in our lives. John 3:3, Jesus answered him and said to him, verily, verily, if you want to see the kingdom in my own terms, you need to be born again. You need to have the Spirit. What happens in our soul now, our mind and our emotions, is now determined by the will. And the will need to choose between what the Spirit says, the Spirit of God, or the flesh. And so it determines. So if you look at safety and security, going back to the heart of safety and security, the question is, Lord, my emotions and my mind feel safe and secure when doof, 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 X, Y, Z. Now you can start to determine, is it your flesh doing the talking when it comes to safety and security? Or is it the Spirit of God, in other words, the Word of God, the Kingdom of God doing the talking when it comes to safety and security? If I look at my bank account, if we're in a bad patch, you click and you go in and there's nothing in there. There's some people laughing, so I guess it's happened to two other people as well. But if you click and you go in and there's nothing there, it's perceived by your flesh, and your flesh wants to freak out because it struggles to submit to God and His ways, and it is quite foreign to your flesh. Yet your spirit man, if fed on Matthew 6, if fed on the truth of the Word, if fed on the testimonies in Petri's life and Chris's life and where God has come through in AB's life, if fed on all of those testimonies, all of the matter is that your spirit says, no, no, this is the truth. And your emotions and mind submit to what the Spirit of God in you, your spirit, says. It's a very simple exercise. If you come into a situation where your child falls down and you're not sure what happened, there's blood everywhere, you can tap in. Am I going to tap in the flesh, or am I going to tap in the spirit? I just usually say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then, funny enough, The anchor comes through. You need to decide, am I going to listen to the flesh or am I going to listen to the Spirit? And if you listen to the Spirit, the truth takes over. It doesn't automatically just heal and take the situation away, but it brings the vision, the truth, the way in which God sees it, brings it forth. And you get anchored in a moment of turmoil. You get anchored in a moment of massive waves. Is this making sense to anybody? Is this speaking to anybody's heart? This is just my life and experience, I guess, at the end of the word that I share with you. We say our safety and security, bottom line, is not from the outside, it's from the inside. It is not determined primarily of the amount of money that we have or the massive bulldogs that you carry around with you or the shotgun you have if you've got young girls. No, it is determined spiritually by Christ, firstly and foremostly. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, anybody here that loves Jesus? Great. He will keep my word. By the way, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Hoe lekker is dit? Hoe lekker is dit? It's not like family from afar that just comes and stays here and you don't know how long how they're going to stay and are they going to bring something? Are they going to be in a good mood? What are the kids going to watch on your TV? What is going to happen? No, it's like God coming to say, hey man, if you love me, if you keep my word, we're going to come be with you, stay with you. We're going to make our home with you. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but is of the Father. What did we say is an anchor again? It is a person or thing which provides stability or confidence in an otherwise uncertain situation. We know according to John 14, as we've read, God the Father and His Son, the Holy Spirit comes and lives with us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, for those that are not believing me yet, you can go to the next slide, please. Thank you. Do you know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. The Spirit of Christ is in you. Where does the anchor reside? Inside of you. Yes, it's a spiritual picture, we know, but God helps us to understand the ways that He deals with us and that He blesses us. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, guys, just, I know we've heard this so many times, but just pinch yourself and just quickly take this in. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the anchor that lives inside of you. If I could put it in my own terms. I'm going to repeat it. Eat it. Take it. Vat dit ter harte. Plant it in your heart. Plant it in your life. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same one. Not another one. Not a junior one. Not a light version of it. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Life is given to your mortal body, not from the outside, not by feeling lacquer, not by enjoying the things of the flesh primarily. Life is given to your mortal bodies from a wellspring that sits within you called the Spirit, or the anchor, or Christ. In this world, the outside, the exterior, wants to determine the interior. God's kingdom supersedes this world's way. And He says, no, 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 my son and my daughter, and I just thought of it this morning. In Philippians 4, it's not on the board, Philippians 4, 7, it says, and the peace of God which surpasses every thought will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. When do I feel safe and secure? When I have peace. When do I feel unsafe and insecure? When there is a lack of peace. So it's a good fruit to test, where am I anchored to? If I don't have peace unless X amount is in my bank account or that policy is in place or that barbed wire is on, I should come back to this and say, Christ, just come take me back to the place of having peace on my inside, having this peace. But that scripture also says it's the peace that surpasses understanding. In other words, you can sit in a situation that looks so unsafe, that looks so stupid to the world, to the flesh, yet the Spirit says to you, no, no, no. You're following the Prince of Peace. Bianca shared this morning, following God, following Christ, following the Prince of Peace. But whatever the things that are coming for you, you can always be in a place, you can be anchored and saying, no. What is the one inside? What is the one in the Spirit? What is my anchor saying about this situation? The crowds came for Christ. They wanted to pop him over the cliff. And he said, well, it's not my time. It's just not my time. There is a time, and I will go there, but this is not my time. You have that authority in Christ to whatever comes into your flesh, whatever attacks comes emotionally, spiritually, or in the flesh. If you know Christ, you know what he's saying about the situation, you say, no, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is not the time, and this is not the place. Whatever it was in the Spirit that I believe God showed me this morning, we just said to it, it is not your time and place, and this is definitely not the people that you're coming for. You will be under the feet of Christ. Authority has been changed. Jesus gave us authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and over all of the authority of the enemy. And we humbly say that, not with our own pride, not with the flesh, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Have anything harmed you in the last 3 months? If it did, just say, Lord, where did the lie come in? Did anything steal your peace? Did anything throw you? And I thought of saying this beforehand, and sorry that I didn't. By the way, all of this stuff, I don't have it all down to a T yet. I'm a work in progress. In most of the examples that I used, I'm not saying, oh, yes, I've done that. I've got the medal. In many of those areas that I share with you, sometimes I have to go, as Nas would say, back to the drawing board. And I need to go back to Christ and say, Lord, help me. Let me, where's that revelation again? And why was the anchor? Why didn't I hold on to the anchor? We're just going to look at two practical, very outrageous, but practical things in the Word that you see that this is the absolute truth. But these are the situations, type of situations. And by God, we might not be led into such severe situations. But these are the type of situations that you can be led in, that your flesh, your family, even your country, your church, whatever can be led in, yet you can be anchored. Because you know who Christ is and you know that you are anchored in spiritually and not the flesh. And you've guided your heart and your mind along the right paths. Now, who was the first martyr in the Bible? Yes, let's look at him as a light example this morning. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. When they heard these things, they were enraged in their hearts and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled by whom? The Holy Spirit. Stephen, who had an anchor, I would like to say. Stephen, who had an anchor, gazed into heaven. He didn't look at them. He didn't freak out. He didn't say, you hypocrites, you vile, you snakes. He didn't. He looked into heaven. He saw God's glory with Jesus standing at the right hand of God. In other words, he saw in the Spirit. He was in the flesh. He was bound to be taken out now. He's going to take shots. He's going to be stoned now. You all know the story. Yet he has spiritual eyes that are open. He's got a hand. He's got a grip on the anchor that grips him. He knows the truth. He doesn't have a hope that is three tiles far. He's got an eternal hope. And he knows that this is temporary and that we are merely passing through. We're passing through this lifetime. So whatever he's facing, he knows that this is not the final destination. This is not the full stop. He's got a different hope. And that's what I'm trusting, what we're going to stir in our hearts, what God's going to stir in our heart. He saw God's glory with Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. Then they screamed at the top of their voices, covered their ears. In other words, they were busy manifesting. Yes. And together rushed against him. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. You all know who he was. They were stoning Stephen as he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Here ek vat shots. Ek is op pad uit. Hulle haal my uit. Hulle vat my lewe. Maar weet jy wat? Do you know what? Don't fear the one that can take your life, but fear the one that can take both your life and yourself. And he feared the right one. He was anchored in a different place. He was anchored in a different way. He was just, sy bedrading was net anders. Same way in which we can live. They were stoning Stephen as he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice. And just imagine this. Just imagine his flesh so submitted to the Spirit of God in his life that in that moment of this raining stones on his head of being killed, in that moment he said the following, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And saying this, he fell asleep. He died, by the way. It was near Maraslop in Inia. Whatever his flesh was shouting in that moment to his soul, the spirit man, the eternal one, the spirit of Christ, the true anchor, took over, stood up, and made the call. It's the second story. It's in the Old Testament. But we see how God's hand is here upon them and how they see with the right eyes. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I have set up?" Now quickly, we can break this open and it can get a lot of fun. But family might ask you, people in your life might ask you, even fellow believers might ask you, "But are you not saving? Or are you not doing this? Or don't you have short-term insurance?" I, by the way, have, but it might be a conviction that you don't. "You don't have medical aid? Are you not bowing?" I have medical aid, by the way. This is just an example. "You don't have burglar bars? What? You don't have an alarm system? What?" So you can just draw this parallel. "You don't have savings?" No. I've got God. Hallelujah. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up today for us? Are you not serving the gods of this, the fleshly gods of this culture? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power?" It might look like some people like a fairy tale story, but this is your reality, guys. You face the same reality. You face the same reality in a different context with different facts, but we all face this. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king," and I love this. If there's ever a kick boda type of scripture in the word that I like, it's this one. "Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. Firstly, guess what? Ek hoef jou nie te antwoord nie, maar ek gaan jou antwoord en jy gaan dit nie like nie. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us," just imagine this. Just imagine having hold of that anchor to such a degree. Remember, for us now, just in a New Testament context. "And he can rescue us from the power of you, king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the gold statue you set up." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were truly anchored. They had a totally different, safe and secure place to be. They had an eternal safety and eternal security that was not understood to the world and to the king especially. You know the story. They went in, they came out, angel protected them, and they did not even smell a smoke. They did not even smell a fire. I told you this story before. Before we went into the Malmesbury season of about 5 years, one day in the car, God said to me, "And you will not even smell of smoke." I was like, "Lord, we're moving to Ostrek Platelantu. Why would you say this to me? I did not know the furnace, the fire that we will go through." But God gave me a promise. I didn't realize it that day. 2-3 years later, when I looked at my journal, I realized, oh, that was what God was saying. "And you will not even smell of smoke." Guys, I don't know the fire you're going through. I don't know the storms you're going to face. I don't know the winds and the waves. But I do know this. I know an anchor. And it's a true one. It's an eternal one. It's an everlasting one. And it's a spiritual one. It is one that is inside and not outside. We had David and Goliath. We've got Moses. Just imagine David in that moment. Thought I've killed the mic. He's still alive. That David and Goliath moment where David stood there, everything in his flesh, everything pounding from the outside saying, "You're stupid. This is not safe and secure." Yet he knew a different anchor. Will you stand with me, please? God, I thank you for your fire. Lord, I love you so much. I thank you just for your truth. And I would, thank you, God. Lord, all said and done. I pray that this will not be mere words, but it will be reality in all of our lives. Christ, I pray that as an anchor in our lives and our inside, the truth of the word that we feed ourselves on, revelation, testimonies, times with other brothers and sisters. God, that you'll just strengthen our spirit man to such a degree that it's an easy walk. That whatever, if it's stones or if it's giants or if it's big mountains that we face, if it's sometimes unfortunately sickness or empty bank accounts or difficult relationships and friendships and family, whatever we face, we praise. Pray, Christ, that we'll hold on to you. Whatever gets shaken in our lives, may Christ be the anchor and may we hold on to you. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. We're not going to ask you to do anything this morning, but I want to invite you to say, hey, if something has spoken to your heart, please come and pray afterwards. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, yet an awesome prayer out of Ephesians 3 over you. Pray for spiritual power. In other words, we're praying for the true anchors in our lives to be evident, not only this year, but all through our lives. And that we be anchored from the inside, spiritually out. For this reason, Ephesians 3:14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner man through His Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." To be strengthened, God, with power in the inner man through His Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. God, thank you. And Jesus Christ, the King of our lives, thank you. Lead us, grow us, expand us, and help us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.